Thank you, Mr. Knudsen. Please be seated. Well, today we have a split sermon format, so to bring us the first split, Mr. Robert Nettles.
Thank you, Mr. Meininger, for the introduction, and thank you, Mr. Knudsen, for the opening prayer. Wow, it's nice to see everybody here today. And just think, tomorrow we get to meet together again. I'm not sure if there will be more of us, but it's always a blessing when we can all get together as a large group. Now, I have a funny feeling that one of the messages, at least tomorrow, will include the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I think that might be a safe thing to say. So today we'll talk about something a little bit different, but kind of just as important. The Holy Spirit, and we'll learn so much more about that tomorrow, is made up and has bits and pieces to it. That's known as the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There are different attributes that make up the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But what we're going to talk about today is faith. And I'll just get right into the title and ask the question, what does faith look like? What does faith look like? Now, it's pretty safe to say that we all kind of have a different, picture or image in our mind on what faith is. But if faith had a face, what would that face look like? What would that body look like? What would faith look like? Would faith be gentle? Would faith be strong? Faith be angry? What makes up faith? What are the things that make up faith? Today, let's try to kind of paint that mental picture together. Let's look at it as we go through this message today and see what picture comes to mind at the end. So let's talk about faith a little bit. Now, we all know faith is a vital, absolutely critical component to our Christianity, to our future, to who we are. But does God want us to have blind faith? Does he just want us to believe in him without question? Quite the opposite. Let's turn to our first scripture and go over to 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter by any means, but let's start in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy. And verse 21. Test all things. Test all things. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted, but verify it. That's what God wants us to do, is verify it. Faith. What is faith? Let's take a close look at faith. Just the word itself. Now, faith has a bunch of different definitions. I'm just going to pull out a couple real quick just for the purpose of this message. The New Oxford American Dictionary. And here's the first definition. Complete trust or confidence in someone, something, or something. And then they give a follow-up sentence of what it might kind of lead to. This restores one's faith in politicians. Sure it does. Okay. Number two, and this is their second definition, strong belief in God or in the doctrine of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And then they kind of give subpoints as a system of religious belief, the Christian faith, or a strongly held belief or theory. That's one definition. Let's look at just another quick definition. And in today's world, we want to know something. What's the first thing we do? Let's Google it. So you go into Wikipedia. Okay, so in Wikipedia, if you look up the word faith, they kind of do it as an article. So I'll just start at the top of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing by any means. Faith in Christianity is based on the work and teaching of Jesus Christ. Christianity declares not to be distinguished by faith, but the object of its faith. Rather than being passive, faith leads to an active life aligned with the ideals and the examples of the life of Jesus. It sees the mystery of God and His grace and seeks to know and become obedient to God. To a Christian, and I actually like what it says here, to a Christian, faith is not static but causes one to learn more of God and grow and has its origin in God. I think that's a pretty accurate definition if you look at it. But dropping down in the article, in the English translation of the New Testament, the English translations most, the word faith generally corresponds to the Greek noun pistis, and I'll spell that for you, P-I-S-T-I-S, or the Greek verb pisteo, and that's P-I-S-T-E-U-O, meaning to trust, to have confidence, faithfulness, to be reliable, to assure. And we can see in the Bible, if you look at Hebrews, and we won't turn there, Hebrews 11:1, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so there's the Bible definition. Now, as we start getting a little deeper into this message, you start looking at what faith may be. Okay, it's not passive, it's active, does something. So it's not sitting around. Faith is actually doing something. Faith moves. Faith is not static. It's not just sitting here. It's actually going around and doing something. So I'm starting to get a little bit of a idea of what faith might look like. So, you know, I got to ask this question. When you think the word faith or faithfulness, right? And then you try to put a person in there. Now, can you think of people that you've known or may know today? When you think of them, that's just a faithful person. You think faith. And you say, think of a person. I know in my time in God's church, I've known several people and know several people that fit that category. You feel it. You see it. It's something that you can't touch, but you know that these are faithful people. Now, if we're going to ask, what does faith look like, put a face on it, it's fair to ask, okay, where does faith come from? Again, let's go back into the Bible. And we won't turn there. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, that's pretty vague. It's pretty vague. What does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, we know when the Bible was written, when it was put together, the words that we read today, that we take so for granted, we can read them, we can go, yeah, anytime, I can pull out my phone, I can pull out the Bible, I can, when this was written, the words that we hear, they had to go somewhere, they had to be someplace to hear the words, yeah, yes, hearing by the word of God, but you had to go someplace to hear these words. It wasn't something that was available, readily available. It is to us. It is to us. We can sit at home all by ourselves. We don't even have to have another person in the room, and we've got it all right here. But that's not what it's meaning. That's not what it's saying. Yes, we do personal study. Yeah, we do personal meditation, whatever. But this is what it's all about, being together and bouncing ideas, thoughts, weaknesses off of one another. Even those that are listed in the Bible that had extreme faith. We know that Abraham was known as the father of the faithful. Okay, but let's turn over now to Genesis. I'm only going to read a little bit out of here. Genesis 17. And in Genesis 17, We'll start reading in verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." Okay, I messed that up to begin with. "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but she shall be named Sarah." In verse 16, "And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her." Verse 17. This is the response. This is the father of the faithful. Yeah. Verse 17. "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed." Sure you are. Right. Okay. Shall a child be born of a man that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Well, come on, really? Okay. This is the father of the faithful laughing at God. Okay. Let's look at another quick example, because we really need to understand that even those listed in the Bible that had extreme faith made mistakes. They fouled up. Let's go over to Numbers. Numbers 20. And this is actually a pretty good example. Now we're just cut to the chase on this one. And in Numbers 20, starting in verse 9. So Moses took, and you could read the whole chapter, basically to give you a picture, Israel is coming out through the desert. They've left Egypt, and now they're just so thirsty, and a lot of things going on. So God said to Abraham, brought back down in my notes again. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels. You guys have a bunch of bad attitudes. Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation, their animals, drank. Okay, everything's good again. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. There's a consequence, because if you go back to what God actually told them to do and how to do it, that wasn't what was done. So there's a consequence and a price to pay. And this consequence and that price affected a whole lot of people. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and said, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you." Wow. Sometimes that lack of faith might have a pretty strong consequence tag to it. You know, I think it's safe to say that all of us have had shaky faith from one time or another, but some pretty good examples of when faith can lead you. That quick. Really good example over in the book of Matthew. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Now, I won't pick on Peter too much, but we will a little bit. Okay, so Matthew 14, and I'll begin in verse 25. Matthew 14, 25. "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a ghost.'" Uh-oh, you know, we're seeing things that shouldn't be there. You know, this isn't right. And they were scared. They were afraid. "And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" So Peter, you know, you go back through some of the accounts of Peter that are written in the Bible. He's my kind of guy. You know, he's not afraid to do things, but he thinks pretty quick and then thinks a little later about what he just thought about. And verse 28, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So Jesus So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water and to go to Jesus. He's doing it. I mean, I don't think any one of us can really put ourselves in that place. But Peter came down out of that boat. He's walking on the water looking at Jesus. And I can just imagine it. The eyeball to eyeball, you know, reaching. All of a sudden he says, oh, what was I thinking? But for an instant, for a moment, what did Peter have? He had faith. He had real faith. He had real faith. But he went, verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink like a rock, basically is what it says. And cried out saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, you of little faith. You know, I can just imagine he has to be frustrated. God has to be frustrated with all of us because I can put myself in that situation. There's times where I've gone, oh, yeah, you're doing something on faith and all of a sudden it gets weak and the momentum stops. That's exactly what happened here. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You know, because we're looking for characteristics or distinctions of what faith might look like. Sometimes faith looks hard, looks really hard. And I'll give you an example of that. When I was young, I come from a fairly large family of six kids. Well, we'd all go to the public pool, and they had the low board and they had the high dive, right? Okay, so you go to the public pool. And you get, you know, everybody coaxed everybody else on, go up the high dive, you know. And you look down, you knew, wow, that's hard. That water's hard. This is going to hurt. This is going to hurt bad. And you knew it. Okay, so, but you did it anyway. Yeah, it hurt. Okay, but you did it again. Next thing you know, you started finding the right angle to get into the water. And suddenly, the water didn't look hard at all. The more you did it, the more you exercise your faith. I hope you're getting the connection here. The more it just happens. It gets softer. So sometimes, yeah, it does look hard. And it is sometimes very, very hard. Nothing real easy about it. But you know what? You can do it. You can do it. Some examples of what hard faith may look like. Again, Hebrews 11, we can see a lot of examples just throughout the book of Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. And Hebrews 11, and I'll start reading in verse 35, there are some pretty incredible accounts. So, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert and in the mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Verse 39, and all these, this is really where it sums it up, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith, they did everything required, you know, they didn't stop fighting, they didn't give in, they didn't throw in the towel, here's what they got as a reward, and all these having obtained a good testimony through faith did not receive the promise. They didn't receive it. What? Okay, so verse 40. God having provided something better for us that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We're all in it together. God's family will be united together as a group, as a unit. One of the things I definitely do want to point out right here is that we need to have all the characteristics of faith, all the attributes. You know, there are times where a person might look real faithful, but they don't have the determination, we'll say, or something. That one of the vital parts, it's critical that we all have the same ingredients, if you will. Same characteristics. So just how important is faith? Well, you know, I think we're making it pretty clear here. But James 1, and I always get stuck on this particular verse. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay. And verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith, so faith falls into this category here, produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, caveats to this here. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. Ha ha. Okay. I think we need faith just a little bit. It's impossible. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So that's how important faith is. Hebrews 11, and I'll just read from 13 to, well, I'll start at chapter or verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. And again, I'm going to be reading a lot out of Hebrews because this is where a lot of the faith that we want to know about, if we really want a description, this is where it's at. So verse 13 of Hebrews 11. All these died in faith, not having received the promise, but seeing them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called into mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Okay, we want to be residents in that city. We want to be part of that city. So again, that's exactly how important faith is. Now, I like to try to refer to some of the church's literature when I go through these. And I looked into the booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. And, you know, it's not just for people that we're trying to attract from the outside. These booklets have a lot of good information contained in them for all of us. You can see a lot of good things. I like the way something was said here. And from the booklet, You Can Have Living Faith. Faith isn't something, it isn't some magical ingredient. Okay, so we know faith isn't magical. It does, however, lead to a confident attitude towards God. Faith motivates our minds to the assurance of God's power and will to act in our lives. Faith becomes more than a mental conviction as it grows into a commitment, not only to trust God to involve himself in our lives with his help to do his will. We can rest assured that God's will does not include frivolous, unproductive behavior. Only as we saw, as we went through this, we don't get anything if we don't have faith. If without faith, you can't please God. You've got to have faith. It's key. Yes, faith is only part of the ingredients or the recipe that's required to be here, to be part of God's family. Faith is only part of it. And I'll continue on a different subject in the church booklet. Faith is evidence. Okay, the remainder of Hebrews 11 identifies real people who lived long ago, examples of faith. They believed God to the point of obedience, even to death, confident that He would deliver them or resurrect them to eternal life in His kingdom. They trusted God's promise. Faith gave them the assurance to carry on. And I really like the way this is said. Faith, such faith is not mere wishful thinking. Yeah, you know, hope is a component of faith. Yes, we do hope when we have faith, but we don't have wishful thinking. It's not, yeah, I kind of hope that, no. Faith is for sure. It is guaranteed. Faith is something that is powerful. It's not weak. And we'll see that in just a moment. We'll see that in just a moment. So, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And again, we've already read that. So, I wasn't going to do this, but I'll go ahead and I have a feeling we'll be going there once or twice tomorrow at least. Galatians 5. And Galatians 5 are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's see what makes up the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I think we all know that faith is part of that. Galatians 5, and I'll just read two verses out of here. Galatians 5, 22, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Again, faith is just one component of what we need to look like. Faith is just one part of it. It is very important, though. So, you know, let's go ahead and take a quick look at how do we increase our faith. Let's see how we increase our faith. Because it might be pretty easy. I don't know. Might be pretty easy. Luke 17. In Luke 17, we start getting a little indication. Excuse me. In Luke 17, I'm only going to read a couple of verses here as well. Verse 5. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Is that as easy? Just ask him to make it stronger. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Okay, so, doesn't take a lot. Faith must be pretty powerful because a little bitty mustard seed could pull up. That's all you need, just that little bit. Another area right now that kind of gives us a good description of what it might look like. But anyway, Matthew 17, and we'll start reading in verse 19. Matthew 17, 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, because now we're going to see some of the makeup of the Holy Spirit and some of the things it can do. Why could we not cast it out? And they're trying to cast out this demon, if you read back in the chapter a little bit. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. And verse 21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Jesus Christ let them know there is more to it than just sheer faith. It's a lot more to it than just sheer faith. There's prayer, there's fasting, there's a lot that goes into this. You know, here we see some of the other characteristics that make up faith, and we should try to achieve them. We need to try to do these. We need to try to find that quiet time to meditate, because that opens our mind to let God in, especially if that's all we're focusing on. Prayer. Prayer is critical. And I know just from personal experience, it hurts when you go to work or start your day and you neglect to pray first thing in the morning and start your day off in the right direction. That's just my own personal experience. You may have your own, but I've learned my lesson. I pray first thing in the morning and as often as possible. That's just another ingredient or characteristic of faith, is you've got to pray. You've got to be committed. There's so many things that go into it. I want to read again, as we start wrapping up here, from the church booklet, and this is the same book that you can have, Living Faith. Anyone who decides to follow Christ will eventually face tests. And this is something where a lot of us have gone through it in recent years and months, what have you. There's a lot of trials, a lot of tests, a lot of things that have happened, you know, just throughout God's church and in personal lives. Anyone who decides to follow Christ will eventually face tests. You may be asked to compromise with the truth of what the truth of God has revealed in His Word. That's, again, sometimes faith can look real hard. If I don't do this, I won't get this job. I need this job to feed my family. Sometimes it's real hard. Are we going to compromise, or are we going to be faithful? So, starting to see what faith may look like. How will you fare? As we have learned, God is kind and understanding towards our weakness, but He nevertheless requires that we go forward in faith. In times of testing, we must seek His wisdom even more earnestly than we did in the past. We must pray for Him to show us His will. We should seek wise spiritual counsel. And I've reached out to individuals in this room. I know that people have reached out to me. It's nice to talk to one another, to bounce things off of one another. That's what we're here for. We're family. We can't always choose the time in our lives. This is actually a phrase out of here that I laugh at every time. This is out of the booklet again. We can't always choose the time in our lives for a faithful testing crisis. And I think a few of us experience, wait a minute, yesterday was going so good. What happened? You know, and you've got things that you just weren't expecting. You don't plan for things to happen. And this is where faith comes in. How do you make it through? How do you make it through these situations? Sometimes you just can't. It's really funny, and I know this from experience, when you get to the other side and you look back, sometimes you don't know how you made it. Sometimes you have no clue how you made it. You just know you're there and you survive and you're a stronger person or you're a stronger family. It gave you something on the other side. It's not just good enough to believe. Yeah, I believe in God. I'm come here every Sabbath because just to be on the safe side, I'm going to keep the holy days and make sure I do the basics. No, basics aren't enough. That's not what faith looks like. What does faith look like? Okay, so I'll just sum this up for you as we conclude here. Faith looks just like the example Jesus Christ Himself set for us when He lived and died for us. That's what faith looks like. He's the example. He's the model. He's the template. That's what faith looks like, all right? That is the bar. We will never reach that bar in this physical form, but that's our goal. That's the goal. That's the race that we're running today. That's the fight we're fighting today, is to look like Jesus Christ, who is the picture of faith. So what does faith look like? I think we just summed it up.